We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. It's draft night, long night. We need to break some stuff down about the Los Angeles Lakers, what they did during the draft, what they did after the draft, and some comments that Rob Pelinka made about Russell Westbrook. Joining me is Sean Davis from LakersNation.com. Sean, how are you holding up?
Just pure adrenaline, Trevor, from the Max Christie pick. I'm still riding the wave of that pick right now, I guess. Hey.
That was your pick. You called it. You said, this is the guy the Lakers need to get. Lo and behold, they went and got him. So why don't we start there? I know we are going, we did a 3-hour show already for the NBA front office show live. We've done a number of different videos too, breaking down the Lakers picks and all that. But for the podcast here, what did the Lakers get in Max Christie, who they made a trade in order to get, got the 35th pick from the Orlando Magic, used it on Christie. What do they get in him?
Well, they're getting a future, potentially elite 3-and-D wing. You're talking about a guy that is, his shot is incredible. Now, he didn't shoot that well technically on paper. Looking at the counting stats, he shot 32% from three last year at Michigan State. But I'm going to keep saying this because I think it's important to bring this up. You can't just look at the three-point percentage when you're evaluating how good of a shooter a player is coming from college to the NBA. It's more about their mechanics, how their form looks, and stuff like that. Also, in the first 19 or 20 games of the season, he shot almost 37% from three, I believe. So, and he just went on a cold stretch to end the season at Michigan State. So, I think he's more closer at 36, 37% at the bare minimum range. And then you're getting a really good, or at least a good defensive player with a lot of potential on that end of the floor as well. He does a great job of really of guarding ball screens and being skinny, getting up, fighting over top. I'll have a breakdown on what Max Christie will provide, but he's definitely going to be a positive defender, a positive asset on the defensive end of the floor for the Lakers. And he also has some offensive upside. It's not nearly as high as his defensive upside, though. He does have a solid first step, but I think a large part of that's due to his length and his size. Not that much of an athlete, but he can really hit some tough shots and just his shooting ability as well. So you're looking at a prototypical 3-and-D wing, and at 35 and the upside that's there defensively, Trevor, and this might be bold, but I think the upside defensively is way bigger than what we might get offensively from Max Christie. So I'm excited and I can't wait to show you guys the breakdown.
Well, that's certainly exciting because just looking at a shot, it pops off the screen. You just go, oh my gosh, that's one of the smoothest shots I've seen. He's got a little bit of an extra dip before he brings the ball, and that could be a strength thing. He dips the ball down a little bit lower than you would want before he brings it back up for a shot. But his shot is so smooth. If you correct that, it's going to be tough to defend. I mean, he's got a very high release. And then I think he's got the ability, because of his balance, he can shoot off the move, which is great to see as well. I mean, you could run him off of screens, off of curls. He can be that 3-and-D guy, but maybe a little bit more than just the standstill, spot up in the corner, three-point shooting guy. You can do some other stuff with him in terms of running him off of curls, kind of like what the Lakers used to do with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That's the way I see him. in terms of how you can use him on the offensive end of the floor. Defensively, he really needs to get stronger, but he's only 19.
He's not even fully into his body yet. Like, just give him some time, Lakers Nation. If he doesn't play like a rookie of the year next year, don't be ready to trade him.
Yeah.
Just give him some time, man. I mean, honestly, I think he could help next year with the Lakers, but if he went G League for a year, played for South Bay Lakers, I wouldn't hate that, but I do think he could help. But he's 19. You got to give him some time to fully develop and, you know, add some muscle. I think muscle's the key thing. The actual pound he's at right now isn't terrible, but it's just more about adding more muscle mass to his body. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I think he'll guard more 1-3. Not sure about 4s and 5s. He's also just smaller too. He is 6'6", although he does have a 6'9 wingspan. So, but I think he could shut down or be a really good defender, especially guarding 1-3.
I know I just said KCP, but that's in terms of his offensive production, what you could essentially do with him. But really, when I think about what he could be, I think of Danny Green.
I was just thinking Danny Green in my head too. Yeah.
Like, and that prime would be great.
Danny Green. Prime be, Danny Green.
If you got that at 35, that's a home run. If you can find that kind of production at 35 in terms of a 3-and-D style player that can do those kinds of things. Now, again, long way to go. Don't assume that he's going to do that right out of the gates. Probably going to take a little while, but could be a really nice pick for the Lakers down the road here. Before we get into the undrafted free agents, though, before we get into Cole Switter and, of course, Sharif O'Neal and Scottie Pippen Jr., before we get into these guys, let's talk about Rob Pelinka, because after the draft, he addressed the media. And he had a comment about Russell Westbrook that really stood out. Here's what he said. This is from Kyle Goon of the OC Register. Said that Russell Westbrook has indicated to Darvin Ham that he's ready to embrace a defense-first philosophy. Says Russ hasn't told the Lakers definitively what he's doing with his $47.1 million player option. But if he comes back, he'll be embraced here with open arms. So Russ is saying he's ready to take on a defense first role. So let's start there before we get into the option. It sounds almost like the Lakers are looking for guard Draymond, like a guard version of Draymond Green is what they're asking Russell Westbrook to be. I mean, we've heard about Darvin Ham talking about him being a slasher, playing off ball, playing in the dunker spot, getting used to playing without the ball in his hands, and then focusing his energy and being a defense first type of player. What are your thoughts on what the Lakers are essentially asking Russell Westbrook to do? And do you think he's going to be willing to do those things, even though he is saying, yes, I'll do that stuff right now?
Darvin Ham has the same facts over feelings. I'll just say I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it. I do not trust a single word, not just because it's Russ, but like any player that is not a defensive first player. I'll see it. Sure, it sounds good, but we are in the honeymoon phase still. Training camp hasn't even started. We are in June still. And I mean, of course the Lakers are going to say this. They're trying to make sure everything is like as smooth as possible, trying to make sure everybody's loving each other. Heck, I guarantee you tomorrow, or if Russell Westbrook picks up his player option, because I do think it happens, I guarantee you, we're going to see Darvin Ham and Russell Westbrook. They're going to post a picture of them hugging together on Instagram, Trevor, just to help build up the camaraderie.
And tag 29 NBA teams in it.
Right? There we go. See how much we love each other. No, I mean, it sounds good. It sounds great. But Darvin, he's not Jrue Holiday. I know you're used to that. And trust me, I would love Jrue Holiday. But that's not who Russell Westbrook is. And until we see it on the court, I don't buy it personally.
Now, Jovan Buhov, The Athletic, also got that Rob said that he had, you know, they've been very honest with Russell Westbrook about what they expect his role to be next season. When you use the word honest, that sounds like you had to share some harsh truths. Like you said, facts over feelings with Russell Westbrook. And that's essentially that, you know what, we're better when the ball's not necessarily in your hands all the time. You'll have some moments to do, and this is my speculation here, you'll have some moments to do that kind of stuff. But what we need from you, if you're going to be on this team, is X, Y, and Z. We need defense. We need off-ball cutting. We need all this kind of stuff. You're going to have to play in a style that you haven't played before, or at least haven't in a long, long time. Do you think there's any part of Russ that would actually consider declining that player option? I mean, Rob mentioned that he hasn't picked it up. It's 47
million. The word
million.
Was if. The if threw me off a little bit. Like, I if mean, he picks it up.
I just can't see any way that he doesn't. But especially with them saying that Russ is buying into this. So clearly he's not telling them, no, I don't want to do this stuff. I'm not going to do this stuff. If that was the case, then maybe it'd be a different conversation. But do you think this is stuff that Russ actually wants to do? I'm not suggesting that he's going to fork over $47 million or forego $47 million just because he doesn't want to be a defense-first player. But as much as they're saying Russ is on board with this, it's like asking him to be the almost the exact opposite of what he has been for almost his entire career. I can't imagine that that's something that's easily accepted if you're Russell Westbrook.
What's more likely, you think, that Russ opts out of $47 million or Kyrie Irving comes to the Lakers for the mid-level exception?
What's more likely?
Yeah.
Kyrie mid-level exception. Because Kyrie might be crazy enough to do it. I don't think Russ is actually going to turn down $47 million.
Like, I know last year was bad, but Russ, man. Yeah. No, I mean... I think if you want any optimism that Russ might be serious and that these reports are true about Russ, is that they're telling him what his role. They are being clear with him reportedly,
right,
what his role is now. They're not changing it 74 different times in the season. Now, granted, in Frank Vogel's defense, a lot of different moving pieces, AD, LeBron out of the lineup or whatever. But the expect, even honestly. There's times even when they were all healthy, we are not sure if like there was a clear role set for Russ when everybody was healthy. Not so, and then you add in all the other factors. So I think the fact that Russ is going into training camp with a role kind of established, like Russ, we need this. And now Russ can be like, okay, cool. I know what my team needs from me. If he really wants to win, he'll do it. So there's a little bit of optimism. But again, I'm still in a believe it when I see it type of phase, unfortunately.
Now, Rob Pelinka also said the Lakers will be targeting three-point shooting, defense, energy, and competitiveness with the rest of the roster in free agency. I mean,
fact that he has to throw in competitiveness to the list of players.
Shouldn't he? I mean, did you see competitiveness last season?
No, that's my point.
Like, yeah, right. I mean, the fact that he, yeah, you're right. The fact that he has to say that, but you didn't see that last season. So he has to say, we're looking for guys that are going to go out there and compete. And are they're going to play basketball at a requisite NBA level? They're going to care to that degree. And again, not to say everybody was lackadaisical on a night to night basis, because they certainly weren't. We saw Austin Reeves flying all over the place. We saw a number of players doing that. Stanley Johnson, Wendy Gabriel, all those younger guys. But in general, this Lakers team last season lacked competitiveness. So that's competitive fire is something that you have to have on the team this next season. And again, all of this stuff is obvious, but still good to hear Pelinka say, yeah, he didn't come out and say, oh, I'm looking for another ball handler. He didn't come out and say, I'm looking for scores. He said 3-point shooting, defense, energy. I mean, those are check, check, check. I mean, those are all the things the Lakers need on their checklist in order to build a successful team alongside LeBron and Anthony Davis. So I mean, it's obvious, but also a little bit comforting that at least it's acknowledged by Rob Pelinka that these are the things that the Lakers need.
Really, really quickly. And again, I'm aware it's June 24th, but well, now it is after the draft, that you said, Trevor, the Lakers would have to bat 1,000 this offseason. Mm-hmm. So far, again, don't know what free agency looks like yet. Got about a week away now. The Lakers have batted 1,000, in my opinion, with the coaching hire and what they've done throughout the draft, the coaching staff, Darvin's put together. They've batted 1,000 so far. And yeah, some of the things they said about Max Christie I thought was really interesting as well. And that's why I know a lot of Lakers fans really wanted or were interested in Jaden Hardy. That would have been the exact opposite. I'm glad the thought process here is consistent, because if you went Jaden Hardy, you're going the exact opposite of what Rob Pelinka said in that quote that you brought up, 3-point shooting, defense, competitiveness, and I forget the other thing, honestly.
Energy. It's understandable. It's very late right now. We've spent all night covering the draft. So
the one thing we don't have.
It's the thing we need too right now.
Yeah. But like the defense is what Jaden Hardy absolutely does not have. So I'm glad they went with something that completes that that thought process. And apparently the report is, or what Rob Pelinka said anyway, is that it was a consensus and they valued him as a first round pick. And they felt he would have went 15 to 20 in next year's draft if he had went back. So yeah, I'm excited. I think the thought process has been perfect so far. Even if some of these things don't pan out, it's the thought process going into these decisions that is what's really showing here.
And here's the thing, right? We look at this, you say they're batting 1,000. Yes.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But so far, this has been the easy part.
Yeah.
Not that it is easy, but it's easier than what's to come. The hard part is what's to come. That's nailing trades and free agency. Those two things. Are there Russell Westbrook trade opportunities? If there are, and you're going to go ahead with that, you've got to nail that. Free agency, got to nail that, right? We can say right now they're batting 1,000. We don't. Max Christie, maybe he doesn't pan out. Sometimes that happens with young players. But based on what we know right now, it seems like the guys they added, pretty solid. And Max Christie, pretty good pick. Okay? Batting 1,000 there. Darvin Ham, that's the coach. We all agreed that would probably be the best fit. They got him. Great. So far, so good. Now the real test, though, for the front office. Who can you get in free agency, given that you have just the taxpayer mid-level exception, $6 million and veteran minimums? How are you going to find three-point shooting and defense when every team in the NBA is looking for those two things, particularly at the wing position, and veteran minimums? How are you going to get that done with what you've got at your disposal? This is going to be the real test for this front office. And if they're going to bat 1,000, they're going to have to get creative and figure out a way to make things happen over the next couple of weeks.
This is screaming Russell Westbrook trade. This is screaming Russell Westbrook trade, because again, and I only thought about this because he brought up, like, yeah, how are you going to get enough of guys that can play, that can shoot the three and play defense with the roster currently constructed, only being able to use for taxpayer and not trading Russ? Or not potentially trading THT in another package. Who knows? So, yeah. And obviously, when it's this is screaming a Russ trade, I'm talking about Charlotte potentially with Gordon Hayward and Kelly Oubre potentially. So, yeah, man, the draft was a lot of fun, but it's time to get into some of these Laker trades, potential trades, and what they do in the offseason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially Charlotte. I wonder if they're extra concerned now, because Detroit, you know, they picked up a big in the draft. And that's got some people wondering, like, are they still going to target Ayton, or are they going to focus more on Miles Bridges with all their cap space? And if that's the case, Charlotte's, they've got to be prepared to pay Miles Bridges in order to keep him. And that might require them to move off some salary in order to do that. So we'll see what ultimately happens there. Let's wrap things up, though, with the three guys so far as of this recording that they have picked up as undrafted free agents. Let's start with Cole Sweater. What are your thoughts on bringing him in? We said the Lakers were going to be a prime landing spot for undrafted guys. They had to give him a two-way contract. Do you like the fit there for the Lakers?
Yeah, I love the fit for the Lakers. I mean, you talk about a 6'9 dude that could just shoot the lights out of the gym. I mean, I'm really intrigued by him. One of the best catch and shoot shooters in the draft this season. Well, this draft. And also a guy that's not a bad defender. I think part of the problem was the fact that over at Syracuse, they were running a lot of matchup zone and some really wonky stuff that really doesn't bode well for him. But I think he has the size and the versatility to help and contribute defensively. And then, obviously, again, the elite three-point shooting, which is obviously what a lot of Lakers fans are intrigued about.
Scottie Pippen Jr., Twitter is reminding me, is a Clutch Sports client because Clutch Sports is tweeting out congratulations to him. Scottie Pippen, by the way, Scottie is Scotty, despite his dad being an IE, Scottie.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the fact that he's still a junior, too.
Yeah, he's still, well, apparently, and somebody mentioned this on Twitter, that apparently Scottie Pippen Sr., the legal spelling of his name is with a Y. And everybody just spelled it IE for some reason. That was the Twitter expectation. Don't take my word for it, but that was the Twitter explanation for why Sr. is an IE and Junior is a Y. But in any event, let's talk about him as a basketball player rather than letters in his name. What are the Lakers getting here? Not the same player as his dad, obviously. Much smaller, 6'1". Yeah. He's a guard. What do you get in Scottie Pippen Jr.?
Well, with Scottie Pippen Jr., getting a guy that can just score the basketball, like a guy that averaged 20 points per game on a Vanderbilt team that really needed him to, when per 40 minutes you're looking at closer to 25 points per game. Has some defensive instinct as well. Obviously, his dad being Scottie Pippen, the legend that he is. He just has some great instincts on that on the floor. But some of the problems with Scottie Pippen is some of the shooting inconsistencies. He really struggles coming off of pick and rolls and shooting jumpers off of it. He shot 34% from three in his career, so he's a solid one, but he's not consistent enough with it. And just some of his shooting mechanics have to be better, especially coming off screens. But I think Scottie Pippen Jr. Is really going to be a nice prospect for the Lakers, and at least in the G League. I don't think he'll play this year. I think Cole Swider has a shot to. I don't think Scottie Pippen Jr. plays. I think that's best for his development so you don't screw anything up.
So it's going to be interesting to see him. I can't wait to see him in Summer League. That style of player tends to thrive there in the kind of the chaos that is NBA Summer League. So I'm really excited. Each day I'm getting more and more excited for a trip out there for Summer League. But let's wrap things up with another former star player's son, Shareef O'Neal, Shaq's son, who revealed the other day that his dad didn't want him to do this, didn't want him in the draft this year. Should he have not, went undrafted, Lakers giving him a chance here. But Scottie Pippen Jr. got a two-way contract, right? Cole Swider got a two-way contract. There's some, you can pop players in and out of those contracts, but still there's a little bit of commitment there. Shareef O'Neal got a summer league contract. There's no commitment there beyond just you're going to play in Vegas and we'll see how you do. What are your thoughts on him?
I really think, well, first off, about your point about Shaq, I really do think he should have stayed another year. But sometimes you just have to go with your gun and you just roll with these things. I think I talked about this in a previous video with you, Trevor, that Shareef O'Neal just needs to go into Vegas and just prove that he can do the little things. I think that's a good start for his NBA career. Be a hustle dude, show great energy, be athletic. He still is a tall guy. So just be athletic and just make impactful plays defensively or offensively as well, sending great screens. Coaches and scouts, they really love a guy that can set hard physical screens. Do the little things like that. And I think he could potentially find a place on the Lakers G League team. And then I think we will see. This is why, like, if Scottie Pippen went G League or Cole Swider went G League, heck, Max Christie went G League. I think the Lakers with Darvin Ham are going to prioritize using that a little bit more as a legit developmental piece, as opposed to just sitting them there and not really using them like we saw sometimes with Frank Vogel in the past. So I think Shareef, he really needs to just focus on doing the dirty work in Vegas, not trying to score 35 points, because that's not going to go well. He looked out of place sometimes when he played at LSU. It was really, really weird. But, I mean, glad that he was able to get an opportunity. and hopefully makes the most of it. Summer League.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to be interesting to see what he does out there. Again, I am feverishly refreshing Twitter just to see if anything else happened, if any other players signed.
Do it
there
now.
There are more coming. There are more
Get
coming.
Get out of the way. Because when we go to sleep, we're asleep.
We'll get to them tomorrow if need be. But looks like that is it for the time being. Again, there will be some more coming. We just don't know who just yet. Sean, your first NBA draft with Lakers Nation. Happy to get that one under your belt?
Oh, absolutely. Especially I'm a wizard now, apparently, for calling Max Christie as well. So
on the heels of calling Darvin Ham.
Darvin Ham. So
that's right.
Thanks, guys, for giving me the nickname being a wizard now. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I got to chat it up with you and Keith Smith over on the front office show, which was a lot of fun. 3 hours, it didn't feel like 3 hours because it was just a bunch of fun talking hoops with you guys. So go check that out if you haven't already.
That's right. That's over on the NBA front office show. All right, everybody, make sure you do subscribe to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. And don't forget to go follow us over on Apple Podcasts as well. Give us that 5-star rating and review. We certainly do appreciate it. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.